Father God, we just want to praise you and honor you for this morning, that we can be together in this way, and that you've just given us another day for doing the work that you have planned for us. It is such a blessing being yours. We just want to thank you for Transformation Table and the team that has joined us this morning, and those that are not available this morning. We especially want to ask you to, Father God, just be with Melinda, Peter Marie's wife, where she's having surgery today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to be present at all times. We can ask you this because you are our divine healer and you are omnipresent. And we ask you that you just put your hand on the shoulders of the doctors, give them wisdom, that everything goes well, go well, and that there is a quick healing. We thank you for today again. We ask you that you would guide us on this very, very important subject, the instruction directly from you. We ask you, Jesus, that you will guide us and show us the way. In your holy name, amen. We've actually started talking about this earlier this year already. And even towards the end of last year about discipleship. You know, it is actually a constant subject on our transformation table. There can be no transformation without discipleship. I don't think so. Yeah. And when Henry started this conversation on these messages, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit starting to speak to me about the weight of this. You know, this is a heavyweight fight. This is a world-class heavyweight fight. And The more I was pondering on it, the more I realized how lightweight I am in this fight. You know, the only one that would be physically capable of just qualifying by height and by weight for this fight is Freek. But I don't think this is a fight that we should tackle alone. You know, this is not a nice boxing match. This is a cage fight. As I say, this is a big fight. And Henry, I think we need to start this conversation this morning, just putting some basics down, you know, because I think this is not going to be, and I'm 100% sure that this is not going to be a one morning discussion. You know, this is going to be a series that's going to be keep us busy for a while, you know, and I think this is valuable. It is worth doing. I think if we can, you know, as engineer, Mendry, you know, and Umbeno, when you start a project, you make notes of what you have, what is around you, who's the role players, what is your position in this process. And I wonder if we shouldn't start this morning with that, you know, so that we can build a base. Do you agree with me? No, we've got a lot to discuss here, and we can jump into it. But I think if we just put a couple of build a bit of foundation, it will be a good place to start. Do you guys agree with me?
Mm.
Okay, so we are talking about discipleship, and for me, immediately, when I think about discipleship, the words that flood into my mind is mentorship. It is fathership. It is that stuff that your dad had to teach you. Of course, the main thing is that it is in a direct instruction from Jesus, and that, of course, the ultimate teacher. And I tried to define the words. So, you know, obviously, the ultimate teacher is God, Father God, mm-hmm. and we need to put all. You know, I think let's build some foundation. If I think that's a good place to start. So in this process, obviously, you, I, and God is the players.
Mm.
You know, and then what do we name those three? You know, is there the, you know, I'm thinking of in the engineering industry. So that I'm asking for some help here. I'm thinking of the engineering industry. First, you're an appy.
Mm.
You know, so because you are an applicant to study this field. So the that guy Freek that shows up at prison with looking at you with these deep eyes saying, please help. He doesn't say it verbally because he doesn't even know that he needs help yet. But in his eyes, you see that big question. Please, I'm in deep trouble. Help. He's applying for this. He's the applicant. You know, he's applying. He's asking, please help. Yeah, and there are many of those. Then, if you get accepted, you are the student. You start studying, you start learning, you've got a teacher because you apply to someone, which is your teacher, right? Then after that, you know, in the trade, you become then after a student, you become a journeyman. You know, you now start applying that what you've taught as a student, and you start working and you start doing this work. Yeah. And then after a while, you become a tradesman. So now you have a certain amount of skill level. You can apply your trade. You can be called a tradesman. People can say, right, this guy knows more or less what he's doing. He's going to be, we can ask him to do the job. And then one day you become an artisan. You master the art of your what you do. Yeah. What my question is, what is the process in discipleship? Is there such a process? And here's my other question. So you guys can put your hands up if you've got some answers for us. So maybe let's start with the process. Sorry, is this a age-driven? Because if I look at the faces in front of me, I can say, yes, it's an age-driven process. You know, the guys that's the artisans on this group is also the guys that's got the gray hair or the no hair. That's my second question, because I have met some young guys that is also good disciples. And Umenri, maybe you can just kick this off for us if you don't mind, because I'm muddling two things together here. If you figure out what I'm saying, I'm muddling discipleship and mentorship and studentship all together, and I'm putting it together in the form of obviously, the spirit world, and in the real world, you know, in the world that we live in every day. So, Umenri, I don't know if you understand what I'm asking. If I can just ask you to kick off for us a little bit in maybe making clear what I'm trying to mumble.
Menzo, as you said, there's a lot involved in discipleship. I've got a whole series of books that I'm still busy working on. So there's actually a huge amount to say. But if we start with a basic foundations, firstly, the artisan or the appy, he's driven by a need to work, a need to gain income, and so he applies and gets a job and so learns, and his driving force is, I need to work, I need to get an income. But the spiritual discipleship, there's no money-driven force that pushes you. And so you have a world, a spiritual world, very few people have been given any kind of teaching. They know virtually nothing about spiritual things, even in churches. They know so little. And the huge problem is they don't know that they don't know. And they don't see a need. They're enjoying their life, and they don't see a need. So the first huge obstacle that you have to cross is to get people to understand that they have a need to learn. There's a scripture, interesting scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. In Afrikaans, it says, "Die beginsel van wysheid," the beginning of wisdom. It says the beginning of wisdom is, how do we gain wisdom? What's the beginning of wisdom? Seek wisdom So the beginning of wisdom is seek wisdom. You know, just to realize, and then I look at the basic big thing there is, and I've often preached about this and tried to get this across to people. And I say to them, yeah, I'm standing at the pulpit and say to them, I actually don't know enough. and we must realize we don't know, that we have need to learn. All of us have need to learn. If we want to grow spiritually, there is a need out there. There's a need to grow. There's a need to search wisdom. There's need to say, I need wisdom. I need to seek for it wherever I can get it. You know, an apprenticeship, you go to a tradesman, you go to a business and you say, well, I want to become a fitter and turner or what have you, and you go and seek for it. But spiritual wisdom, the thinking is, I'll just go to church once a week and there I'll get wisdom. You're not going to get wisdom once a week. That's just not enough. You need to be a part of a study group that seeks wisdom, that says we don't have enough. We need to learn. And you know, then there's a whole spectrum of how to learn. One of the first booklets that I've just finished writing now is Learning How to Hear. How do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Learning, we've got to learn how to hear. And a great part of that learning how to hear is hearing and doing, hearing and being obedient, immediate response to obedience. You'll never, like a tradesman, you'll never learn if you don't actually do. So it's a process of, I need to learn, I want to learn, therefore anything that I learn, I'm going to put to practice. So the biggest bridge that I'm trying to cross is to convince ordinary people that have been used to just going to church once a week or every now and again, whatever, and half an hour, 20 minutes sometimes sermon, and that's their discipleship. That's all they've received. And in that, there's been no depth. To convince that person, I need more. I need to read. If I'm in the bushes away from people, I can only get to a church once every now and again. I need to seek other places. There's the internet that you can look from, but the internet is a mixture of quality. You need to really search, where am I going to get a good tradesman that will teach me? And if that's books, if that's some kind of study material, if I want to grow in wisdom, I need to search. One of my book three of my Circumcision of the Heart books is The Seeking Bride, Die Suchende Braut. The bride who actually seeks, you read in Hooglied van Samuel, what's that? Song of Solomon. You read there of the bride that goes and looks and looks and looks for the bridegroom, searches and doesn't give up until she's found her bridegroom and then hugs him and holds onto him and so on. But she wouldn't have found him if she didn't get out of her bed and go get out of the house and go and seek and seek and seek. It's that spirit of seeking and really knowing I need the bridegroom. I need more knowledge and I'm going to seek it. I'm not getting it where I'm going to. Therefore, I've got to go somewhere else. I've got to seek. We've got a situation in a particular town where we try to minister into, where the pastor is just not doing his job. He's got to. He's the one pastor. You know, many people ask me, can I go to this city and that town, big town, and so on to come and minister? I say, well, you've got four or five places where you can go to. There's many places here that have got no pastors, no dominie, no nothing, or others where they've got one and he's making a mess of things. 30 families have left the church Where do they go to? One family, the wife wrote to me the other day. She said she sent me a photo of her front door, and she said, "I really ek hoop jy kan oor die drempel van hierdie van my deur hierdie jaar. I hope you can cross my door and come and visit." Desperate because there's no ministry, so they know I need ministry. But where do they go to? So there's this, just the fact that she says, "Please cross my door," tells me there's a knowledge. I need input. I need spiritual input. That's the biggest and best start to discipleship. I need discipling. You can't disciple people who not interested. You just can't get anywhere. So the first thing you've got to make sure is to try to get people to understand the need for discipleship. So there's a basic principle.
So that gets back to the applicant. Henry, if you're going to forgive me, I'm going to put this together all the time. The two sides, you know, the spiritual side and the learning side. And you explained it beautifully. Thank you. Are you guys okay if we do that? That we put the two sides together, because I think there's a big, correlation, massive correlation. I mean, you just said the seeking wisdom. You know, the moment when you realize I need to seek, is your first step. You know, it is possibly the most important step. You know.
And the step that comes before that is, I don't know enough. That's a step of humility. I don't know enough.
Yes. And Umendra, you made a very good point there. The for Appy that applies for a job, for Tim Turner, it's driven by a need for money, you know, a need for sustaining. But the beauty of these things is the tradesmen and the artisans that I've met are not driven by money anymore. They are doing it because they love what they're doing. Yes, they've learned. The money has now become secondary, but it's not even secondary motivation anymore. They are motivated by learning more, because many of the guys that all of the guys that I've spoken to in both these aspects, the more they learn, they will quickly tell me, the less they know. That is always impressive. I'm very scared of a guy that says I know everything. He scares me very much.
And you'll find with tradesmen, I'm on a Facebook page with tradesmen from all over the world called Ingrain Cutting Boards. Now, these people have joined together a group of people all over the world, and they make Ingrain Cutting Boards. But man, the skills. And the more you look at this, the more interested. I want to make something like that. And you learn because you absolutely love the trade, and you want to see how somebody else does it, and how this one does it, and so the same spiritually. Once you really start enjoying the growth and the spiritual truths and so on, you start connecting with other people that love that same truth and want to grow and want to learn more.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the value of the transformation table for me personally. You know, the fact that we can sit here and have these discussions and you know, I cannot say that there was one transformation table meeting that we went through that I didn't learn at least three things. You know, so that's, you know, if you ask me to describe myself, I would say I would be the student, you know, because that's where I'm at my happiest. But yes, the other thing of the artisan is, you know, the person that is knows his skill. Is that he's, as I said, his motivation is not money anymore. It's firstly learning more. Secondly, being in the company of other artisans. Then also for teaching. You know, I've not met a guy that is that's good at what he's doing that doesn't want to teach automatically. It is possibly the most important thing that differentiate cultures that are suffering through the world of been reading up a little bit on it. The cultures that are suffering in the world and the cultures that are doing well in the world is one thing. The cultures that are doing well, teachers first, and the students are ready. You know, the Chinese has got a saying, if the student is ready, the teacher will come. Freek, how many times have you been in a situation where, you know, and I'm going to ask you this question, how many times have you been in a situation where you walk into, and I'm using a prison as an example because it's, you know, I see the prison ministry as a classroom. You know, I don't see it as a place with bars and a place with walls and locked up. And, you know, obviously that's what it is. But in the field that we are a team together in prison, it is a classroom. You know, and you are the teacher, right? How many times have you arrived in the classroom where your students are ready? They are waiting for you, like Omendri said now. You're crossing the doorway. You know, give us some comments on that if you don't mind.
Yeah, thanks, Menzo. I remember a few years ago, actually when I started off, you know, starting off in Krugersdorp prison, I first had to go to one guy with a simple, really powerful message. God loves you. He sent me here to tell you that he loves you. And that one guy grew into a group of about 5-6 guys. And it was that one. I couldn't disciple them or teach them about the Bible because I was also in the beginning stages. But a thing that I learned in the beginning from the people that was discipling me and the church that I went to was I did the EE3 course about how to be an effective a witness for Christ and the basics of discipleship, telling somebody when you lead them to Christ is read your Bible. You must spend you must fellowship. You must have a relationship with the Word. I don't study my wife. I have a relationship with her. So study, study the Word, but have a relationship with the Word. Let the Word also disciple you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And another thing is prayer. This is the basics. And then to testify, tell people what the Lord had done for you. And then fellowship with other believers, spending time with them. And get yourself into a place of worship where there's sound doctrine and the Word is preached and the truth is preached. So as I went into the prison, being discipled at the church that I went to and cell groups and brothers and sisters, men's gatherings, I was, like you said, and still I want to be like a sponge, just drinking everything in. And I went back into my inner room, closed the door behind me, and I said to the Lord, I hear they talk about speaking in tongues. Is this really from you? If it is, I want it. I don't want a man to give it to me or a man to convince me that it's still possible to speak in tongues. Or when it came to the baptism, Lord, please, will you convince me about the baptism? And every time the Lord did it, and you know when the Holy Spirit convinced you of something, it's very difficult for a man to tell you otherwise. So when I learned, I went into the prison and taught them and told them about what I learned that Sunday or what happened to me. So I just shared with them, and I could see from the beginning. It's like I said, one guy and then five, and later on it grew and it grew because there was a hunger on their side because they actually wanted to know how did this guy got out of that world that we get ourselves in now, how did he get out of crime? And How did he start serving Christ? And so, yeah, we spoke about it now, but because the thing that they also taught me that time is you have to be fat. You have to be faithful, you have to be available, and you have to be teachable. Mm. And the day when you think you know everything, remember all the knowledge and everything is going to disappear. And the only thing that's going to stand is love. And so that's for me, up to now in the presence, you're right, Menzo. It is like a classroom walking into, I see it more as a gym. I'm walking into there as a coach, and because I cannot speak as an engineer, but I can speak maybe, I don't have everything about war and battle and police and that. But I remember we went to the police college doing basics training, just the basics. You couldn't get out of the police college and just started off being a detective or walking into a special unit. You had to go prove yourself, and you had to grow into it by experience, by the type of work that you do. And eventually when they draw you into one of those units or you apply, you still learn there. They put you with somebody that can teach you and disciple you, if you were going to say that, mentor you, train you to become a better soldier, become a better policeman. I've worked the last couple of weeks. I spoke a lot to policemen and policewomen. And there's certain ones, you just sit a while with them and you can see, they've got it. They've got it. They know what police work is about. And then there's some of them, they have no idea why they're there. They're the wrong or in the wrong position at the wrong time. They're not ready for it. So it's a very, and especially my rugby days, you know, you can't just, from when you start playing rugby in primary school, you have to train and, but when you get to the upper level, like the Springboks, Rassie doesn't need to train the guys or teach them how to play, how to be a lock or a prop or a center. Those guys know exactly what to do. It's just now to form the skills and the game plan and get the guys ready physically, mentally, to become a great team. So, yeah, we all need to know that we are part of a team, and I want to say, as an evangelist, my calling as an evangelist, my biggest frustration is leaving a prison. And that's why the radio was it's still such a passion for me, because I'm leaving the prison, but who's going to disciple them? Because mm-hmm. we've got too many people discipling people, but they were never discipled. And that's dangerous. That's poison. It's toxic. Because they don't want to submit. They are rebellious. And rebellion is witchcraft, you know. So you can't disciple other people if you never were discipled. Firstly, by the Holy Spirit, and then by elders and people around you. So, yeah, for me, it's very important to be discipled. And like Henry said, have that burning desire. You want to be discipled. You want to know more. You want to grow up into the fullness of the Christ man. So, yeah, I hope I answer your question.
Thank you, Fred. Just tell me quickly that one again, the fat. I didn't get the first one, the V.
Faithful.
Faithful. Faithful.
Faithful. So it's a... You see, this is now where my Afrikaans comes in and my English. I had the V at the first letter. So what was the V again?
It's actually faithful, available, teachable, and then there's another T, trustable.
Okay.
But is it the right Anthony, way I didn't say it, trustable?
Trustworthy.
Mensel.
Samuel, gee ons net gou 'n sekonde.
Ek wil net gou net vir haar toestemming. Kan ek voor in die inkom? Ek sien eers eerste voor my, want ek sal nou enige dit van nou af moet ek gaan.
Okay.
Sommige mensen wat ek in transport is, terug met verlof, so ek sal voor die tijd pad gee. Ek wil ook net ietsje bijdra. Die intrap, the introduction of Menso and also what Oom Henry has said. So many people don't know that they don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, just to go straight to the term discipleship. I'm thinking a lot about this, and especially when I look in our communities and in our churches. So here in Namibia, we are a small population, but it is known even from the government records that 95% of us are Christians. But I figure it out. When I say I'm a Christian, that is my identification, that I am a disciple and I have go through the process of discipleship from A to Z. So I have received all the mentorship, all the tools. I have go through all the training and I am qualified. So that qualification gives you the identification that you are a Christian. Now, I came across many people and I asked, are you a Christian? You say, yes, I'm a Christian. Oh, tell me more. And they will say, no, maybe I have been confirmed. I've been baptized when I was a baby. I was born in a Christian home. And now all these things are contradicting that a person is really a disciple. So I hope I make sense. Now, in the Bible, we are talking now about biblical discipleship. So when we go to the scripture, the word Christians only appear 3 times. But when it came to disciple or discipleship, in the 4 Gospels, I think it's 260 or 61, but all together in the New Testament, discipleship is more than 900 times, I think.
Wow.
So when Jesus has took his followers, he discipled them. And at the end of the day, for the first time in Antioch, they have been identified as followers of Christ. And the people said, those are Christians. That was the identification. So they qualify to be Christians based on discipleship. They have been discipled. So there is a shortage. Many people need to be educated, to be taken back to the basics, the foundation. So when people came into Christianity, the foundation is very important. So in many lives, they have received a wrong foundation. That's why they don't know that they don't know.
Yeah.
So there is a lot that we have to do. And what Frieg was saying is frustration when he leaves the prison. That's also what I am, the same problem that I am having. So every time when I go to the prison and minister to the guys, so at the end of the day, I know I am now walking out. And this man that has not received Christ, I left him alone. So who will mentor him? So my prayer at all times is that, Lord, please do what you have done in my life. Because somebody has come from outside and preached the word and I have received it. And that pastor has left and I was alone in the prison. But today here I am. How did I make it? So please do the same that you have done for me, so that this man one day must come out and proceed in discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just for now, I think it's enough. Thank you, Menso, and thank you, Anthony, and thank you, Transformation Table.
Thank you, Samuel. But Henry, I've got a feeling you want to comment on Samuel's... You unmute him, Henry.
Yeah, okay. Something that was triggered in what Samuel said was this thing of Christian is mentioned very few times and discipleship is mentioned many, many times. When Jesus started his discipleship, he walked past Peter and Andrew's brother, their ship. And he just simply said, "Follow me." And he carried on walking. And they left everything. James and John too. They left everything. That's the cost of discipleship. If you really want discipleship, you've got to leave all your things. And Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the start of his teaching to his disciples, that was not to the general crowd. It says he went up on the mountain and his disciples came to him and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And then you have those three chapters. So those are discipleship chapters. And one of the things that he said there is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have to have priorities. If you want to be disciples, your priorities. And one of the first things that happens when you get born again, you get baptized. And baptism is not just some spiritual thing to guarantee you getting to heaven. In baptism, you die to yourself and you come alive to a completely new life. So there's the crux. Maybe that's why people don't get discipled too much, because they have to die to themselves.
Thank you, Henry. Anthony, you've got your hand up. So when you called me fat on earlier this morning, I was a little bit realized I have to lose some weight. But after Freek explained to me what fat is, I'm very, very happy that you called me fat. Thank you, Anthony. Go ahead, please.
You're looking good, man. You're looking good. You're my people up with Tom, but it's the orange stuck. I also just wanted to, part of what I wanted to say, Mahendri just said, it costs, you know, there's different levels of discipleship when you come to Jesus. I was thinking of John 4, where Jesus went to by Samaria, and the woman from Samaria spoke to him, and she had a conversation with him that changed her life so much that she ran back to her town and she told everybody about Jesus, about she met the Messiah. And so there's, when you meet Jesus, you can't help but do that. I'm thinking of Freek and his ministry and what happened to him, his testimony. He met Jesus, and when he met Jesus, it impacted him so much that he couldn't help but want to tell people about Jesus. And a lot of people, they meet Jesus, but they're only on a dating game with him. And I think that discipleship is also continuously a choice where you need to choose to move deeper. The more you have relationship with Jesus, spending time in his word and spending time with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a time and a place where the Lord says, well, we need to get married now. And we can't get married if you still have, you need to give everything. You need to sacrifice everything. I was thinking of that scripture of the rich young man that came by Jesus, and he said, "Lord, what do I need to do to earn the everlasting life?" And the Lord said to him, "Well, you know the prophets. You need to follow the commandments." And he said, "Lord, but I followed all these commandments." And then the Lord looked at him, and the Bible explicitly said the Lord loved him. And then he said, "Go sell all that you have and come back and follow me." And he actually got an invitation to become an apostle, but his riches and what he had was so much, he went away there and he was saddened by the fact that he couldn't give up. So the cost of discipleship is everything. It's not just a little bit, but it is a journey. I want to say that. You start off by dating Jesus and getting to know him. And the more you fall in love with him, the more you fall in love with him, there's going to be a time and a place in your heart where you're going to have the yearning to want to marry him. And when you do marry him, you have to realize that you're getting into a war. So you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. You will be teaching how to war in the spiritual realm. God says continuously through the word that if you follow me, you will be tested and you will be tried, and the world will hate you as it hates me. So if you're married to Jesus, then you must know that you're going to be persecuted. And it's not, I mean, just thinking of what Freek went through with the cancer 2 years back. I mean, that was absolute persecution from Satan's side, because, you know, he was afraid. And then what happened? He attacked him in his physical body. But Jesus said, I don't care about that. You focus on what I tell you to focus on. And he came out a stronger person. His character in Romans 5, the Lord said, so we joy in our tribulations and our trials and our tests, because it produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And in this hope, we hold on to, because the love of God has been poured out into our heart. So it's the continuous journey of stepping, moving closer to God, and moving closer to God is it's nie 'n maklike proses nie. It's not an easy thing. Dis nie ek sit nou terug en skreek uit die paviljoene uit. I've got my Jesus badge on and my Jesus shirt on and I'm shouting Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You need to get back into the game. And rugby is not an easy game to play. You know, you've got to be prepared, but the fact of the matter is you're going to get tackled, and you're going to get bulldozed, and you're going to, and all those, you know, the enemy plays unfair. You know, he doesn't play fair, but you've got to play fair and play according to the rules. Otherwise, you get punished for it. The last thing that I wanted to say is you have to have a teachable spirit. Without a teachable spirit, you won't be discipled. You won't, because the Holy Spirit continuously leads you into deeper water, into situations which only through Him you will be able to master it. You won't be able to do it without the Holy Spirit. So, you must have a teachable spirit. You must continuously seek God. It's like playing wegkruipertjie met Hom. You're with him now on the path and you think all good, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm off the path. Where am I? I'm lost. Lord, I need you again. Help me. And then you're back into the word, because the word is the lamp for your feet and the light for your path. And then you need to go find the path again, because it's a very small and narrow path. It's not a big, broad path lighted with lampposts. It's a very small and narrow path. So it's a continuous seeking place, and you need to have a teachable spirit. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to humble you and teach you and lead you. And yeah, that's my part of what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Anthony. I'm so grateful for that lamp, you know, because that lamp that's just two steps ahead of you. Because as a person that is easy distracted, if I had a big light, I would have been all over the place. You know, I would have been lost. That light that just shows me two steps at a time is so valuable to me, because otherwise I will not be able to focus. Atman, I'm so glad you got your hand up, because you are that quintessential story that we're talking about this morning. I remember the first time I met you, when you guys came around to visit, you were that guy, quiet guy that was just sitting there listening. You know, and the second time I met you, you were the quiet guy that was just listening. And today, when I listen to you, I'm excited when you're going to say something, because that journey that you've taken has given you so much wisdom. So, Atman, I'm glad you're on. And we need to stay on this path with us on this discipleship, because you are that guy. You know, you are the guy that that's figured it out. So, Atman, you're on mute. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, what a privilege and what an honor to listen to you guys, especially Frieka and Brother Henry. Because, Menzo, you know, actually, I'm actually still an epi and I need to learn and be coached every day. But what came to my mind now is how I think about where actually everything started for me. Just last night, I've sent Frieka a long message about people in a small town complaining about what's actually happening there. And I was just sitting here and wondering if the church call out to us to come and help with such a situation, what went wrong in such a beautiful place? And it took me back where my discipling actually started. I think I was just accepted the Lord, and the Lord was so gracious for me and gave me two wonderful coaches while I was still in prison. The one was Peter Hendricks. He was an ex-general of the 26, so he did a program with us. The next one was Solomon Stachy. He was with me in prison. So he was my coach daily. And the way we searched for souls at that time, it's just amazing and a lesson for everybody today. Under the most difficult circumstances, you know, the restrictions in prison, you cannot just go and do what you want to do. But we were so privileged that we found favor not only with the wardens, but also with the gang leaders, the leaders of the number. So we had actually a go-ahead in making disciples in the whole prison, in that B section where we were. But we had a plan. We had a strategy. Like Solomon, he loved to play soccer. Me, I love to read and do research. I came freshly to the Lord, so I was always in the Bible. So his single cell actually became our headquarters. So while he was busy there in the playing soccer, you will see and observe the guys, and he will just tell them, yes, go there and ask for a cup of tea there to that man in cell number what. When they arrive there, I take all the details, talk with them, make the cup of coffee. By the time that Soli arrive, I know all the details, and I set out a plan for them. Some of them, they will be part of the number. So I was sleeping with the leaders in my room. So tonight I can go back, tell them, oh, listen, this guy, he don't want to be part of the number anymore. How can we do? They said, okay, we release him, but he must not do what he want to do. Same time, we have a connection with the warden. We take him out of that cell, out of that environment. He's coming every morning to our Bible study. We take him to the other programs. We take him to church. In two weeks' time, that guy will accept the Lord. Rather, he's going to school or he is getting a job inside the prison. So this was our strategy. And it worked because me, whilst I was still an epi, I was coached by this man, but I already started to make disciples just by love, just by introducing him to Christ, invite them to the church services. So now I'm talking about Paulsmoor Prison, one of the most notorious prisons in the country. So why must the church be afraid to make disciples if our country look like this? I'm just using it as an example If God is with us, who can be against us? The Lord never failed me. I can testify today. Someone who's coming from prison, they will tell you, hey, this thing that this man says there, it can never happen while you are in prison. I can testify it. And I never even had a bad word from anybody for what I am doing. Many guys, they were beaten up or chased away or bad things happened to them. But because God is with me, who can be against me? But that's why the scripture there, where it says that Matthew 28:18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Not alone, not with your kind of own authority, but by the authority of God, because he will be, we promise, he will be with you always till in the end of time. Be encouraged. Jesus loves us. The world is full of coaches. Be teachable, and the Lord will guide us to disciple more and more and more and more. Thank you, Menzo.
Thank you, Atman. Sure. Beautiful, encouraging words there. Peter, you had your hand up. I want to try and keep this within our time frame to make life easy for Freek. So
I'll carry over to next time. Carry over to next time.
Okay, just jot down your thought. Guys, yeah, we run out of time. So I want to suggest one or two subjects for next week. Actually, one of three. The basics of discipleship. Henry, you brought up a very important one, learning how to hear. And a subject that Atman now opened up is discernment. You know, who do you lend your ears out to? You know, how do you discern which will be a good teacher? You know, because I think that's a very important initial step. And I don't know how to tackle that one, Freek. I can see that's a tamaleki. Guys, maybe on the WhatsApp group, I'll put those three down, and maybe you guys can just guide me on which one would be a good subject for next week to tackle. Atman, can I ask you to close for us in prayer, please? Sorry, is there anybody else that wants to add something quickly? Or shall we continue next week? Good. Atman, would you close and pray for us, please?
Let's go, Sai. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful morning, and thank you for this discussion. Thank you for what we could have learned. For every speaker, Lord, thank you for using them, sharing the knowledge, what you gave them, because it can come only from you. Father, we pray now in the mighty name of Jesus that we will take these words and apply it. Because how can we hear and not apply? Thank you, Father, for everyone, even those who will listen afterwards to the podcast, that this knowledge will enable us, Lord, to just fulfill your command to make disciples. The need is big. The harvest is big, Lord. Thank you that you will send in more laborers to do this harvest. Thank you for Freeka, and thank you for Menzo, the leaders of this group, for the topics, Lord. This is so important. The topics that you gave them and that we can discuss, led by the Holy Spirit, so that so many people can learn. I pray for our young people, that they become teachable, that they will need the urge, see the urge to get wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for those wisdom that that you share with us day by day. We pray for this week further. We pray for the day that you will bless us in your mighty name. Amen.